Hello, welcome to another edition of Life Song Radio. This is edition 166, I believe. And so we're so glad that you tuned in with us today. We're going to continue from where we left off last week. Again, I've asked Blake Shankle to come back with us. I hope you got a chance to listen to last week's broadcast because, Blake, I've been thinking about it all week. You know, after we got through with our study, it's just been in my brain, and God's word was good. I hope. What about you? You've been thinking about it. By the way, welcome to the show, Blake Shankle.
Thank you.
Jimmy, he's got the day that we're recording. He's hung up in Miami. He took you know, some people try to hide their money, but Jimmy Hicks don't. So he's on this big went on this big Disney cruise.
Well, I sure hate it for him, right? I mean, because what is? I mean, he's missing the sunshine here.
Yeah. But anyway, he couldn't make it back by the time we recorded. So I asked Blake if he would come back, and because we were just getting into some good stuff last week, and we ran out of time. I looked down, and we were at 59 minutes, and we only get an hour, so we had to cut it short. So Blake was pretty fired up about the rest of the chapter. I said, well, won't you just, if we can, come on back and let's wrap it up this next week. So how's your week been going?
It's been good. It's been real good. Yeah. Had some revival services. I know that's kind of unusual for January, but had a brother from Idaho actually come. The one we go out, we actually helped with a church plant out there, Brother Scott Plath.
Yeah.
South Fork Outdoorsman Church out there in Idaho, a huge Mormon country. And so he's out there spreading the gospel to that dark area. And he came over here and has been preaching our revival. And it's been wonderful. He's actually been in some of this text here,
really?
In Hebrews. So it's crazy how God has worked this week. And so yeah, I've been fired up on this Hebrews. I actually taught it to my Sunday night class.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. This the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant and the similarities as well.
Yeah. Anyway, you talking about revival. I was last night. I got up about, I don't know, about 10 or 11 to make sure all the doors were locked and looked at my weather, and it was 2 degrees or 1 degree. I'm 49 years old. I don't ever remember in my life it being that cold. What's going on? What's up with this global warming stuff?
Al Gore's so full of it. But
full of money.
That too. Hot air and money. Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know. Yeah, I was driving to the duck hole this morning. -5 degrees.
Wow.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I know.
Wow.
I haven't.
Yeah.
Here in Tennessee.
Yeah.
So, it's cold.
That's brutal. I'll open my door to let my little dog go out and use the restroom. I open the door. She runs out 3 foot, and she turns right back. When that air hits her face, she says, I'll just have to hold it. So I have to carry her out in the middle of the yard and put her down and says, use the bathroom.
Look, it's crazy too, right? Because I'll be at the house and I'll be freezing cold. But I'll be at the duck blind down there. Oh, it's fine. You know,
yeah.
I didn't know it was. It could have been -15 this morning. I wouldn't have cared.
Yeah.
But
I'll let you do that duck hunting stuff.
Yeah,
so.
I know.
But anyway, again, we had a great time last week in the Word, and we were just getting into, it's all good, but we were getting into some more good stuff, and we were just flat out ran out of time. So what we'll do is maybe pick up, kind of read the first verses that we covered last week at the end, and then just kind of go from there. So, Blake, if you want to, where do you want to start reading? You just told me.
Yeah, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, I think, is where we need to pick up.
Okay, go ahead and start, and then we'll go from there. After you read, we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll go.
Okay. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke to love and to good works.
Mm.
And I'll stop there, and I'll let you.
All right. Dear Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity we have to study this marvelous, marvelous book of Hebrews. Boy, it's just so, I would say meaty, but it's all meat. Your word is just one big meat tray, Lord. And we just thank you, man. We just thank you that when we study Hebrews and we see what's going on and the contrast between the old and new covenant and the old priest and you, the great final high priest, and how much better you are than anything that's ever existed. All we can do is sit back and say, what a wonderful, awesome, magnificent, holy, righteous, perfect God you are. Lord, we just thank you that we can sit here and learn more about you. And may you open the ears of the audience today that they also can receive this word and can grow in their faith and then share their faith with others. Lord, we just thank you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, 19.
Yeah, so this at this point, the writer is, you know, you guys have gone over this over the last 10 chapters, and yeah, up to this verse 18, we've really just, I mean, it's been hit at home of the old covenant, right? To do away with the first and establish the second. So now I believe the writer's coming here to a response. Mm-hmm. He's seeking a response from these Jews here, you know, and he's going to give us two responses, right? There's two choices here that, yep, that we can make. And so having therefore, which points backwards to these things that have been spoken. And then he talks about brethren. Now, who's the brethren here? And some of this we've probably covered last week, but yeah, I can't remember. But the brethren, he's speaking here, the brethren is those Jews.
Right.
Right. I do the same thing.
Who wrote he? I don't think it's Paul. That's just my opinion. But we know Paul loved the Jews.
He did.
But the point being, brethren isn't necessarily a believer. It just means these are Jews that's being addressed,
right.
And these Jews have to make a decision. There's a choice to be made.
That's it. And so he comes. This is just a great verse 19. I mean, you can underline the whole thing right here. Boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And I can't remember if we kind of went over this a little bit, but we can enter into boldness. I mean, you think when. Back, and he compares this to the old covenant, right? When that high priest would go up there once a year and he would make the sin offering he'd have to be completely cleansed, right? And the blood would have to be sprinkled. He'd go through the veil, this big black veil, heavy veil. Mm. And on the other side of it was the Ark of the Covenant, and which is where God dwelt. God is so holy, he cannot look upon sin. He cannot take it, and it's because of his holiness. It's his attribute. So they would actually tie a rope around these priests, you know, and if he's not completely cleansed, if he's not completely pure, I mean, he would immediately be consumed when he went across that veil, so they could drag him out,
right.
You know. And so but what they're saying is so when by the blood of Jesus, which is when he's poured it out upon Calvary, that It is finished. It is over with. Now we, you, me, the brethren, the Jew, those who know Christ, we don't have to have a high priest, a earthly high priest,
right,
to enter into that veil. We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to have that thing in the back of our mind, that scaredness to say, man, I don't know if I want to be consumed, because we're not going to be consumed by that fire. That we're covered by the blood of Jesus. We can enter to the throne room of God today.
It's kind of, before you got here, I was kind of looking at some messages on my computer, and I got a message, and I'll just go ahead and say her name. She won't care, because she loves the Lord, Miss Wilma Northcott. She asked me to pray for her husband. He's got some health issues, and she's worried. I said, and I sent her a message back. I said, Miss Wilma, here's the great news. We can go straight into the Holy of Holies. We can go straight into to where God is, and we can boldly stand before him, and we can now petition and ask. You know, we can ask him. Of course, I'm selfish. We all want to be healed, but we know ultimately whatever his way of whatever he does is always better than what we could ever imagine, even though we don't really comprehend or understand why things happen like they do sometimes. As a believer, his way is the right way. But you have access. You have access through the veil. Jesus' flesh was the veil. When he died, now we have it, and we said it last week, if Jesus Christ never died, we never would have access to God. Okay? We never would have access to the throne room. There had to be a separation of the veil. And symbolically here we see his flesh. We see that the veil in the temple opening. Just think about the Jews that were standing around the temple that day. If they saw that curtain, they'd turn and run. And they dare not look in that direction because they would be consumed. But now, no. Turn around and look. Don't even look. Come in to the throne room. You see how radical that would, you see how that would mess their minds up? You know, so the writer, again, they're faced with a decision. You can come in boldly. You can trust him. You mean trust Jesus, this Jew who died on the cross? I need to trust him? Yeah, you know. So, anyway, again, decisions be made. Beautiful, beautiful words here.
Yeah, and that, look, so it goes back to prayer, enter boldly, right? We're talking about speaking to God, I believe. We're talking about praying to God. And look who's on his right and who is on his left, flanked by the Holy Spirit as well as Jesus Christ, right? Yep. And Jesus is mediating upon our behalf. And we can come to God, our Creator. And so do we do that? Do you, as a Christian, do you understand that? Do you do that? Do you pray like that, right? Or do you squander those opportunities of prayer each and every day? And do you know that he says, come to me, right? Give me your supplications, right? Let's pray, with a pure heart. Come to me. And Jesus goes in Matthew, where he talks about, he gives us the model prayer. Mm-hmm. Talks about it. And what does he start off with? Hallowed be thy name.
Mm-hmm.
It's about you, God. It's all about him, and it will always be about him. But come boldly. Mm-hmm. Come boldly to him. Pray boldly to him that he's listening. He's there. He wants you to come to him.
We don't know. I was thinking the other day, we almost have this mentality that God's just flying around. And then when we pray, he looks down and says, oh, there's somebody in covenant praying. Let me swoop down and listen to him. And then when you get through praying, he flies away somewhere else. No, God, the Holy Spirit, indwells us. He is always with us. Jesus is always with us. He's always interceding on our behalf. Always. And so I, after, 20 plus years of being a Christian, have finally ultimately realized what you just said, that we do have somebody who mediates on our, man, Blake, that's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm sitting here in awe. I'm right. I'm just trying to think about it. I can't.
We got to realize that. We have to realize what Jesus is doing.
Yeah.
He's holding our salvation. What he holds, you can't separate. Romans, at the end of Romans, who can separate us? Nobody.
Okay.
Nobody can separate us from the love of God. And that's what Jesus is doing. So
absolutely,
be secure.
Absolutely.
Have assurance.
Enter boldly. Mm. Right? Enter boldly. To the holiest, right? So anyway, verse 20. By a new and living way, and which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Now, we talked about the veil and his flesh. This veil was ripped from top to bottom, right? The original veil. Now, showing that God rips it, not man,
right,
from the bottom to the top. There was a specific point there. But through his flesh, we've talked about that. But even by a new and living way. Now, it takes away the first, right? We talked about that he may establish the second. The new in this sense in the Greek is prosphaten. Okay? Get this. It means freshly slaughtered.
Yeah.
Man, freshly slaughtered. This is not something that's just stale. Right, it's freshly slaughtered. Jesus is freshly slaughtered. It's new. It's a living way. His sacrifice is always fresh.
It's new because it's never happened before.
Right.
It's new. This is the first time that this has happened. It's new and it's living.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. And it did. And it took the. This week in Revival, we were talking about it, and Brother Scott actually used this illustration. And he was saying, you just think about all the blood. We were riding around. We were thinking, how do you illustrate all the blood that was shed? In the old times, I mean, how do you illustrate? I wish I could show you, you know, in a graph. Okay, all this blood, it took all this, and it still did not take away the sin. Right, boom, enters Jesus. The whatever blood was in his body at the time covers the whole sin of the world.
Mm.
Freshly slaughtered, a living way, new and living way. Right.
You say that, we've said it before. Up to, based on the population and everything that was going on, it could be up to 200. Actually, this is an actual count of one of the years. 250,000 lambs slaughtered in a very short amount of period of time. Think about how much blood that is. Think about the, man, it's just gruesome. It's really, if you think about it, it's gruesome. 250,000 lambs slaughtered. And none of it could remove sin. None of it. Foreshadowing the one lamb, once and for all, one-time sacrifice. And that's a new way than they've been accustomed to.
Yeah.
It's new. Something new.
It is.
And it's living.
And it's living. It's not dead. It's not burnt. It's not a carcass who's thrown out onto the road or anything. Right. It's living.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty... pretty good stuff there.
The sacrifice is alive.
Mm-hmm. How does that work, right? That's a good way to look at
it. It's called the resurrection.
That's it.
The resurrection.
Yep. Well, let's keep going, right? Verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God. So not only did he open the veil, he also became the high priest, right? The great priest. It all goes back to the Old Testament. It all goes back. Mm-hmm. Jesus was a priest, the prophet, and the king, right? And so he was the high priest. So we had a high priest who had to go in and mediate on our behalf. Now Jesus is the mediator. He is the great priest.
Yeah, and notice that he only became the high priest after he ascended in heaven. Why? Because if he can't be a high priest on earth, because that would violate God's law. Because he's not from the tribe of Levi. He's from Judah. God will never violate his law. He come to fulfill the law. He's a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. A different way. A better way. An eternal way. And he took on the role of high priest after he walked through the heavens. You know, you got three stages of the temple. Well, you got three stages of the heaven. And he walked through, the stages of heavens described in the Bible. And now he is the high priest mediating on behalf of his people.
Yeah.
His people, meaning those who believe in him, who put their faith in him, who trust him, who did commit and come all the way. Again, we're going back to the people that the writer's talking to as he explains this thing. You have to come all the way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have to come to Christ. You can't. There ain't. I saw a picture the other day. It was I'm going to see if I got it on my phone. Say something real quick.
Well, okay. So while you're looking at it, that's a good one. I don't know how people are going to be able to see that picture.
There's no middle road. I saw a picture on Facebook of Johnny Cash. He says, I've learned that there is no fence to sit on between heaven and hell. You either in or you're out.
That's it.
You're coming or you're going. We're going to get to that. You're either coming to Christ and believe. And if you're not coming to Christ, you are going from Christ. And if you're going from Christ, guess what? Where else you going to go? Nowhere. Mm-mm. Judgment. That's where you're going.
That's it.
We'll get to that in a minute,
yes.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, I don't know, but yeah. So, but you said it though. I mean, he in over the house of God. He's the high priest over the house of God. That's all believers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Peter uses it in 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 17, and Paul uses it in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 21 and 22. So over the house of God,
yeah,
over the all believers. He didn't only open a new way though. He also ushered us into God, and like we talked about, he sits there. He sits there at the right hand of God. So he is the great priest in the presence of God, interceding for you and I, for all those who believe. Verse 22. And then now he gives us some commands here, right? Some let us's. So first, so we're going to see three things here. We're going to see faith, hope, and love.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see these in these next verses, these key things for salvation, these key things for Christians, right? You're going to see these things as fruit. So let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So he says, let us draw near. So how do I come to him? We come to him with a true heart.
Mm-hmm.
With a true heart. True meaning alathenos,
mm-hmm,
means true in the sense of genuine.
Right.
Right? Does that, I mean, that this is with no ulterior motives, no hypocrisy, no superficiality.
I've always said it's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. So how are you to draw near? With a sincere heart, a genuine, not out of hypocrisy, not out of ritual, but with a genuine heart. Draw near in full assurance of faith. I keep going.
Yeah.
I interrupted you.
No, you, that's exactly right.
And how are we going to know somebody's heart? I'm not. I think I know Blake. I think I know your heart. But I thought I've known other people's heart that have left the faith.
Yes.
You know, in recent years. Not recent years, but over my time of being a Christian, I have saw people come to Christ who now have left and went the other direction. And I thought I knew their heart, but I didn't, you know. So your heart's got to be, there's a condition. You got to be sincere. You got to have a genuine heart.
That's it. Yeah, so the genuine heart, it comes in full assurance of faith, right? It's what he says. So how do we have a genuine heart? In full assurance of faith. We must come to God. We don't come to him in works. We don't come to him in self-righteousness. We come to him in faith,
mm-hmm,
right? So we must believe in him. That's what he asked of us. In chapter 6, verse 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Right, it's impossible to please him. It's more than just a natural faith. It's a saving faith, a gift from God.
Yeah.
A gift from God. It's a saving faith.
We exercise faith every day. How do I know that? Because, Blake, we're at my studio. You drove up here in this ice. Dude, you got some faith.
You probably didn't want to see me driving up here, though. I left my guns this morning at the house. I got down to the duck hole, left them at the house.
Your gun?
Left my gun. I had to drive all the way back in that snow.
You were mad, wasn't you?
I was ill. I can promise you that. But I got back in time for that shooting light too, though. So anyway,
that's good.
You don't. I'm sorry. I completely hijacked that.
You're chasing ducks or rabbits.
Either way you look at it. But yeah. So I had faith. Yes.
Yeah, faith. We have faith. When you drink water from the sink, you're putting your trust in that water. When you go to the doctor and he prescribes medicine, you're putting your faith in what he says. So we all have faith, but then there's a different faith that you just talked about, a faith that's again Ephesians 2, 8, 9. This is a different kind of faith. This is a total trust in something. And you said it last week. Say it again real
quick.
Yeah,
so there was a guy over in some countries, let's say, and he didn't know, he was looking for a term to use. He couldn't understand the language, but he didn't know, there was not a term, or he couldn't understand for when this kind of faith, this genuine faith, when you just put your rest into something. And so he's sitting there in his office, and this guy comes in, and he's tired, he's worn out, and he just plops himself on on the couch, just without, just not even looking at the couch, just plops himself. And he says, that's it. That's the kind of faith, that's the word. What's that word right there? So he was able to get it. So that's the kind of faith that we just, we rest in that. We know it's going to hold us up. We know that's our salvation. It's only in Jesus, not in our good works, not in our self-righteousness. It's only in his atonement at the cross, his righteousness, him walking on this earth, living the righteous life, and he paid our sin debt upon that cross. That's the faith we have to live in. We cannot do anything else to
it. He is the object of our faith. Our faith is so much so that we are willing to die. I mean, that we're willing to die for him. Yeah. The Bible teaches that. If you're not willing to lose your life, you can't be my disciple. This is a different kind of faith here.
Yes.
This is massive.
This is asking you to give up your life, yeah. Right? Luke 9:23, if you're to come after me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me.
You think about this. I was reading just a second ago about, you remember Simon the magician?
Yep.
You remember that?
Yes.
He confessed Christ. He was baptized. But if you kept on reading, you know, I think down in Acts 8:21-22, it says, what he was wanting to do, these guys are healing folks, and I'm a magician, and you know, this would be good for my act. So he confesses Christ, and he baptizes them, and he sees what they're doing, and he wants in on all this stuff. Look, I want to raise folks from the dead. I want to heal folks. That'd be good. How much I got to pay you to do that? How much will this cost me? You see, here's somebody who, in my opinion, whose faith didn't match his lips. It says, you have no, this is, I think this is when he was rebuked by Peter. He said, you have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart, there's the word, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray that the Lord, that if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. Again, his heart's jacked up. And God knows his heart.
He does.
God knows his heart.
You know, and Peter says that. Well, what does Jesus say in Matthew 7:21? You know, we've gone, this is one of those passages that just say, wow, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Then he goes into Simon right here, right?
Yeah.
Verse 22, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name? He says, depart from me, for I never knew you.
Mm.
The heart.
Yeah.
It's not works. It's not how good we are. Can't be good.
And though I can hide things from Blake, I can't hide anything from God. Where can I go where you're not? I can go to heaven, you are there. I can go to earth, you are there. I can go to hell, and you are there. You can't escape God. Though you can hide from me, you cannot hide from God. And God knows our hearts. He does. So you have to come to him with a genuine heart. A genuine heart.
Yes. Yes. Man, good stuff. So and then he finishes up this little sentence here. He says, a big sentence, but when you come to God in faith, then our hearts are sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies are washed with pure water. So something happens here, Phil. Something happens. This is a picture of the Old Testament, right? The Old Testament was an external and it was temporary. But we're with Jesus, it's internal and eternal. So he says, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, goes back to sprinkling with the blood of the bulls and goats, and then our bodies washed with pure water. Look, I don't feel that that's baptism.
No.
That's not what he's discussing here. Let's don't take that out of that. We've not talked about baptism here. This is not even in the context. Not even near what he's talking about.
Right.
We got to remember, because he's in the context of the Old Testament.
Right.
What would those priests do? They would come in. They would have to be cleansed, right, with pure water. They'd be cleansed. So we're talking about the blood that was sprinkled, as well as the priest being cleansed. So that's what he's saying. He says, your heart, you need to be full assurance of faith, and our hearts are sprinkled with evil conscience. From the evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. So it's the picture of deliverance. It purges our conscience. That was in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Conscience brings guilt. Guilt can't be removed until sin is removed.
Yeah.
And then Jesus forgives our sin, right? He forgives it. He removes the guilt. We're sprinkled and clean with the blood of Jesus as believers. I think that's a great...
If your sin's not removed, then you can be guilty. But if your sin is removed, you can have a clear conscience. And the blood of Jesus is the only way to have sins removed. And so that's why, Blake, that we, as believers, we can sleep at night. We can have a clear conscience, knowing that God remembers, even though we're living on this earth and we're in the process of being sanctified. We can lay down at night, at least if you fully believe God's word, and sleep good and have peace, to know that there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The sin has been removed from your account. And so you should not, there's no need of condemning yourself anymore. Yeah, we're sinners. And we need to wash our feet daily, but we've already had a bath. God's cleaned us. Now, we're on earth, so our only thing that needs a little cleaning now is we get a little dirt on our feet. And that's every day confessing our sins, you know, before the Father. And we don't have a need for a full... I had my bath 20-something, almost 30 years ago. I'm clean. I believed. I was like Abraham. You know, Abraham, he believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Is that not before Abraham did? And we're going to get next chapter 11. We're going to get into Abraham. But by faith, because he believed, it was credited to him as righteousness. So now because of faith, he can now come boldly into the Holy of Holies. Isn't that crazy?
It is.
Without any work being done by faith, without any external ritual, but by faith, he can now walk into the Holy of Holies.
I think we've massacred it. Massacred it. Terrible. I went to Covington High. but we've just, you know, the devil believes in God.
He sure does. He actually believes more than most people.
Well, he was part of God's accordance up there. You know, I mean, yeah. He was there. Hey, listen, he worshiped God at one time.
Yeah.
Right? And then he became an apostate. But the belief is not just, oh, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. Oh, yeah, I believe what you're talking about, Phil. No, it's a completely different belief. It's just you're putting your faith in that. And like you said, Abraham put his complete faith in God.
Right.
Did he make mistakes? He did.
He made some bad mistakes.
He did. Wow. But listen, I've made mistakes as well.
Sin.
Sin. That's what we do. We sin. We're not going to stop sinning till we're into this world. So, just, you know, Christians don't stop sinning. It's our goal to sanctify, be conformed into His image. That's what God's going to work on that, and the Holy Spirit's going to help us do that. But you know, it's all about the faith. He doesn't say you have to do good works. He doesn't use this terminology. Two things happen when you're saved. God is satisfied, and you are changed. Two things. You know, and so both parts make up salvation. God's satisfied. His wrath is satisfied by Jesus, right? Jesus took that. And then we're changed. We are going to be changed. We're changed. We're a new person, born again. You ask that question a lot to people. Are you born again? Because people say, I believe in that. You say, but are you born again? Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, what do you mean?
So
I was talking to a guy, and it's been several months ago when I asked him that question, you know, or I said, are you a Christian? He said, yeah, I grew up in church. And I said, have you ever been born twice, or have you been born again? He said, whoa, wait a minute. What are you talking about? I said, let's talk a minute. And so I was able to go back to the old covenant and the demands of the law, and then walk through the gospel. And even though he grew up in church, he had never really fully heard that, you know. So I'm praying he's saved today.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I don't know his heart, though, Bentley.
Nope. Only one person does. one being. Yeah. So verse 23, if we want to keep moving on, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now, I told you that there's a faith, hope, and love. Now, this verse actually talks about the hope. Some of the better manuscripts, the good manuscripts that goes back is that faith, and you may have that in your Bible, but the faith is actually hope. There should be hope there. It real means elpidos. The Greek word is elpidos, and I'm probably massacring that as well, but that's the way I read it. Let us have hope.
Yeah.
Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering. What's that hope? What's that hope that we can hold fast to? You know, it's the hope of Jesus that he's going to save us, right? Yeah. That he has saved us. That there's a home for us in heaven, that God, that his atonement upon the cross is it completed. That's the hope I hang on. Just hang on to that hope is what he's saying. Don't backslide. Don't go back, Jews. Remember? Look, your eternal salvation is in Jesus. Be for real. Hold tight. Look, there's a human responsibility here.
Yeah, there is.
Let us hold fast. He's telling, hold fast that, guys. Just hang on. Don't go back. Don't go back to the old law. Don't go back to that temple. You don't have to do that. There's some who are riding that fence, right? Mm. And they can't stand it. I got to go back to that old law, right? I just got to keep going. No, hold fast, guys. The hope.
Right. I always, you know, it's kind of like this. When I was young, a little, well, I say young, I was, you know, 1, 2, 3 years old, okay?
Okay.
My mama's carrying me, you know, down the sidewalk. Well, let's say she takes out running. Well, I got her around the neck. Boy, she just, you know, I'm like, I'm going to fall any minute. But, you know, I trust her. She's my mama. She won't let me go. And then if I, but you know, if something happened and I lose my grip, guess what? She's faithful not to let me drop. You see, I hold on to her. But she won't let go of me. You know, I'm holding on to her because I believe, but she won't let me go when I waver because I belong to her. It was like this, this man had this, a young kid, and they were up around town, but he had to leave his kid up on the square. And when he had to go run some errands, and he told the kid just to stay right there. And so, but something happened when he was gone, and what was supposed to be a 30-minute little wait turned out to be 4 hours. And so when he came back, he walked up to the kid, his son, and says, I'm so sorry, were you worried that I wasn't gonna come back? And he says, no, you said you would. So he had hope. He had faith. We should trust God. And the writer's telling the listener here, hold on to this hope that you heard from the beginning. Heard on. Look, you even move toward this hope. Stay with it. Stay with it. And those that do, that truly believe and have faith and come with a sincere heart, guess what? God is faithful. He'll never let you go, ever. We're responsible, but I'm so glad when I waver in my faith, sometimes he doesn't waver with me. The one who started my faith that the author of my faith will finish my faith. Isn't that good news? Yeah. Shouldn't that give us great peace and joy when we lay down at night? We know that we're not no longer, we have sin on our record, and we know that when we are walking on this earth and we mess up all the time, that yeah, there's consequences to sin, but you know what? Dad's not gonna let us go. Dad's always gonna look. Once you've been adopted, you can't be unadopted. It's crazy.
It is.
I almost want to say this, but I don't know if I can. But let's, where are we at?
We was at 23.
If I get off talking about this, let's just keep going. Well, that have to be another. But anyway, we will, if you believe God, you will continue. If you do not continue, then you never believe. It's like the guy who was he was on a tightrope and he was walking across the Grand Canyon, and everybody says, you know, they watched him carry people on his back all the way across, and one day he's about to walk again. Do you believe? And the crowd says, yeah. Then he looked at that guy and said, well, then you get on my back. I don't think so. But saving faith and believing God is you trust the one, you trust the object of your faith, and Jesus is the object of our faith. We can trust him even when we don't fully understand what we're going through.
Right.
Because he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Mm-mm. Ever.
But hold fast.
Hold fast.
Hold fast to that faith.
Yeah.
I mean, Luke chapter 8, Jesus, you know, I know you love this parable because you use it on me a lot. You talk to me about it a lot, but I do too. But when Jesus talks about the sower, right, and the seed,
oh, yeah,
you know,
definitely.
And this is what we're talking about. And you know, when the sower went out, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away,
mm-hmm.
right, because it was lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up with it, and it choked it. And the other fell on good ground, right, and sprang up, and bare fruit, and had a hundredfold. So I mean, just those analogies. I mean, he does such a great storyteller, mm-hmm. right, and it just hits it at home, but. Hold fast to that. That's what he's telling us. Hold on to that. What? Hold on to what? The hope. And then he says, so why? Why do we hold on to that without wavering? Well, it gives it in the end. Mine's in parentheses. But for he is faithful that promised.
Mm.
The guarantee.
Yeah.
The guarantee.
Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Look. We can put our faith in Christ. We can do that without wavering. For he who promised is faithful.
Mm.
Come on, Jew.
Yes.
Come all the way,
yes.
baby.
Yes.
Come all the way. Hey, look, you're listening today. Come all the way.
Come on.
Come all the way.
Yeah, quit beating around the bush.
There ain't nothing you can do to get you. You just got to trust him.
Believe and repent.
Yeah. Come all the way in the once and for all sacrifice. There's only one way to go, and that's to him.
Yes.
No, it's not one way. It's two ways.
There is
two ways. To him, to not come to him, is to go from him.
That's right.
And if you go from him, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. Guess what that means? You're going to pay for your own sin in hell.
And God will be glorified.
The offer's there. The offer's there.
It is.
The command is there. Come.
Here's your responsibility, human.
Come.
This is it. Come. Hold fast.
All right. Let's go through 25.
25? Okay. All right. Here we go.
I think.
Okay. We'll try. And let us consider one another to provoke, to love, and to do good works. So now you have the faith. We had the hope we just talked about, and now we have the love.
Mm.
Look, Jewish people, right? He's talking to the Jewish people. They're having a hard time breaking the old covenant, right? They're still holding on to that legalism,
mm-hmm.
right? They're holding. So he says, come on, get into this fellowship, right?
Well, we need it. It's a must.
We don't have time to think of this, but listen, you cannot sit behind a TV on Sunday mornings.
No.
And be in fellowship. You cannot watch a screen and watch a preacher at an off-site campus and be in fellowship. You can't do it. You can't sit there and listen to David Jeremiah on Sunday mornings and not be in church. He tells you, he commands you to be with one another.
Yeah.
That's what we do. We edify one another. We encourage one another. Hey, we hold each other accountable, and we love on each other.
Can a TV hold you accountable?
It sure can't. Nope.
And so you see how easy it is to not go and be around other believers? Because if you're not around them, guess what? There's no accountability. That's why, look, Blake, brother, you got to hold me accountable.
Yep.
Because I'm riding.
Mm.
And sometimes I get off track a lot. And I need somebody to help me. I need the fellowship of the brethren. That's what Jesus said. I mean, let me read 24 and 25 together.
Yeah.
And let us not consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. We got to do that, Blake.
Yep.
Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. There is a day drawing near. Jesus is coming back. He really is. He is coming back. There is a day that's coming. You know, and people say, man, they've been saying that for 2,000 years. Well, we're a lot closer now than we was 2,000 years ago. You ought to be looking, waiting for him. Because there's a day coming. But as we're at, while we're here, man, Blake, I need you, man. You got to, I'm struggling. And you're struggling. You know, we're going through the valleys. We're going on the mountaintops. We're living life together like in the book of Acts. We're breaking bread. We're fellowshipping. We're praying. We're devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching. We got to do it, and we have to do it together. It's a must.
Right.
Don't do like some. Do this.
Yes.
And so it's essential.
It's key. It's love. I mean, you're exactly right. And that's what he's telling them. He's telling the author, saying, you know, he's telling them, hey, because some are reverting back to Judaism, right? Some are going back to the legalistic side. He said, hold on, guys, we need you. Stay here. Validate your faith here.
That's good what you just said. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
We need to be in fellowship with one another, as a mutually we strengthen each other, we encourage each other, we remain steadfast. It is key. It is absolute key.
You know, and let's bring it home.
Okay.
Let's bring it home to even maybe think about today. We're talking about a Jewish congregation a long time ago. Let's fast forward a little bit to 2018. You know, since I've been a Christian, you know, I've looked at people. You know, everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be forgiven. Everybody wants peace and joy. So when we talk about Christ, does he offer those things? Yeah, he does. He does. He offers peace, a peace that the world can't offer. He offers joy. I'm talking about joy in the midst of your disease. You can have joy. He offers a clear conscience, you know, from sin and condemnation. And so that is very alluring to anybody who don't want to be forgiven, who don't want to be loved. Everybody wants to be loved.
I'll take two of them.
You want two of them?
Give me them.
Well, come on.
All right.
All right, you ready to lose your life?
Well, wait. I mean, I got to get on your back.
No, but what I'm saying is, Jesus is attractive. I'm going to tell you why. Look at the thousands of people that followed him. Man, this guy, he's doing miraculous things. Look at him. Go get mama. She's sick. He'll cure her. Man, he's doing stuff. This guy, let's capture him. Let's make him king. Maybe he's the promised one who's going to deliver us from the Roman Empire. Man, let's get with this guy. And that's alluring. And so when you come to Christ, that's good stuff. But is it the whole story?
No. No.
You can have this.
Yep.
But there is a cost. Salvation is free. But there is a cost. You're going to have to leave the old behind. To the Jew, you've got to leave the old covenant. You've got to leave it. For us who are outside of that, you have got to leave your life as you know it. You cannot keep going down this same road and be following me, because I'm in the opposite direction. Come to me. Forsake your life. Take up your cross. Well, what about mom and daddy? This may cost you. It is possible that when you follow me, you may have to leave your family. Whoa, you didn't tell me about that part. You see? But even in all of that, and even as hard as that stuff is, there's joy. There's peace. You know, and for the believer, you see the big, we have a good friend of mine whose grandfather died this week. And he, from what I didn't know him personally, I'll go ahead and say his name, because I heard he was a great man and loved the Lord, Mr. Bird. And he was ready to go. He was ready to go. He's been sick for a long time. He's ready to go. And really, you think about our lives, man, we're just passing through. We're sojourners. We're foreigners in this land. So we're passing through to go to the one who created us. We were created by him, for him. So we're headed for a destination. And I don't know where I was going with that, but look, Mr. Bird, based on what I understand, he just got there. Praise the Lord.
Worship of God right now.
Man, what up? Who won in this situation? He won. He
sure did.
Oh, even though he loves his family, it fails in comparison when you see the Lamb of God. That's what I tell folks. They say, well, you think Uncle Mark will be in heaven? I said, yeah, he might be. But when you go to heaven, you see Uncle Mark, you're going to say, hey, Mark, look at the Lamb.
That's it.
Everything fails in comparison to the Lamb of God. It's all about Jesus.
It is.
Man, come to Christ today. Yeah, joy, hope, peace, clear conscience. But you have to turn. You can't keep living this life. You can't do it. To repent means to turn. Turn, change your mind, that your way is the wrong way. For the Jew, this way, guess what? There's a new way, a new and living way. Turn, come from the old and move towards the new fully. Come all the way.
Come on.
And for you listening today, come all the way.
Hold fast.
Hold fast.
Hold fast.
Because he's faithful. And what he said is true.
Yeah.
Let me hit you.
Come on. No. Wait. Oh, you mean. Okay. I thought you were going to hit me with a word. You mean a fist. No.
Oh, what a God we serve. You got anything you want to add to that?
No, you finished it up. No. No. Come on. Believe God. Mercy. Enter his presence. Stay there and commune as believers. Mm. Stay there.
And we need each other.
We do. That's so important. He ends it with that. We end it on that portion right there. Yep. But stay together. Love each other. Just love. Just be with each other as Christians. Be with each other. Love each other. Encourage each other. Edify each other. Don't put each other down. We're not there to do that. We got enough of that in the world, right? Yeah. And that's what he's given. He's just given us some hope there. He's given us some great. Just stay together, guys. Hold tight.
Man, what an awesome word. What an awesome word. Well, Blake, I want to thank you for filling in and coming in out of the absence of handsome Jimmy Hicks. I feel for sure he'll be here hopefully next week if he ain't taking some a cruise or flying to some, you know.
What a life.
Exotic vacation.
Must be nice to be a DJ.
A pastor / DJ.
Okay.
But if you would, Blake, close us out in prayer.
Absolutely. Our Father God, we just so thank you for your name, for your holiness, for hallowed be thy name, God. You are an amazing God. You are one who is worthy of our affection. You're worthy of everything that we have to offer, and it's just rags. I mean, you're an amazing God, Lord. And here's the thing. I don't get it. I don't get why you saved me such this wretched sinner. You know, I look at my life and I look at it, and it's so wretched, God, in the sight of your holiness. When I hold it up to your holiness, it just fades in comparison. It's so bad. But God, you saved me. Lord, you did it. You pulled me out of the miry clay, and you said, Blake, I want to make you my heir. God, I want to adopt you into my family, God, and I thank you for that. I just thank you so much for that. I thank you for your love, for this just word that we were able to divide, that we were able to digest, Lord. It's just amazing. The hope, the faith, the love, Lord, and may we cling to that. May we hold to that. Hold tight. God, I thank you for this ministry, for what Phil and Jimmy do, Lord. I thank you for them being lights in my life. May we just go out and go and shed that light or shine that light to this dark world. Give us that strength. May the Holy Spirit just completely consume us, Father, and just work through our lives. And I pray for those listeners today, God, for those who maybe they're just struggling with, you know, we're all struggling with sin, but maybe they just don't know you. They don't have a sense of who you are. I pray that the Holy Spirit comes in their lives, draws them to Him, Father, and they just reach out in hope, reach out in faith, that saving faith, God, that just they place it all in Your hands and say, God, take it away from me. Unbind these chains and save me. I put my faith in Jesus Christ and what He did upon the cross. Lord, just thank You for that. And I pray for those who don't know You today. I pray that they can find that hope and that peace that's within You, within the blood of Jesus. Lord, just thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your salvation, for the blood of Jesus. It is in Your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, folks, we'll see you next week for another edition of Life Song Radio. You can go to our website, lifesongradio.com. There you can listen to all the broadcasts on Hebrews and the previous Bible studies, plus some more information on there also. But come back next week, and Jimmy will be back with us, and we'll see you back for another edition of Life Song Radio.